Hi, everybody. This is Andrew. This is Seth. And welcome to the podcast On the Edge of Forever, the podcast where we talk about Star Trek and you listen to us talk about Star Trek. This week's episode is The Naked Time, stardate 1704.2.
Yeah.
I'm super excited because The Naked Time is one of my favorite episodes of the original series. I love this episode. I mean, there are some things I pointed out that are not the best, but overall, I love this episode.
By not the best, you mean, like, most of it?
No.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, you missed that one.
All right, well, let's see. Okay, we start off with the crew of the Enterprise going to that alien planet.
Yeah, it's dying and it's collapsing because apparently planets are like suns. When their life cycle is up of them doing shit, they collapse on themselves. Or they become red giant planets. They become little big planets and expand out to their moons and then swallow them up, I guess, and then form black planet holes. Why is it fucking collapsing?
I don't know. I've never seen a planet run its life cycle.
It gets swallowed up by the sun or just stays there. That's its life cycle.
Well, maybe it was a different, like, event that was called, like,
that was
causing it to break apart.
Would have had a fucking molten core of fucking helium.
Yes.
And it was just slowly escaping until there's nothing left.
Maybe the pressure was so great that it had a molten helium core.
Is it taking a test?
Okay. So they go down to the outpost. Everybody's fucking dead.
Just covered in spackle.
Yeah, everybody has been spackled to death, which they then tell us is they're frozen to death.
Yeah, did they, have a window open or something?
No, that's it. They turn the environmental controls off. That's what they say. Like, they turn the environmental controls off.
If you live in, like, Antarctica and you just, you know, turn the heater off, it's not like your house fills with snow.
Well, I mean, there's moisture in the air.
There's that much moisture in the air? Everything was covered in ice.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, maybe
someone
did open a door. I don't remember now. In the sequel to this episode. In the Next Generation episode, The Naked Now, where the same thing happens, essentially. Someone opens the airlock, which is why everybody's frozen, but.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, they're all fucking frozen.
So everybody's frozen.
For some reason.
And the crew beams down in probably the best quality decontamination or environmental suits I've ever seen. They're made out of like a thin red material.
It looked like a cross between a couch and a shower curtain.
Yes, that's exactly it.
With like a nylon strip. Like pantyhose strip as the face shield. And it's not connected to anything, so I can't imagine it would be warm unless like all the gold threads on it were heating coils, at which point it doesn't make any sense because none of it's sealed like at all.
Yeah, or even if it's a biohazard type suit. Obviously, it doesn't seal.
Well, obviously it's not a biohazard suit since fucking No Name Joe takes his goddamn glove off to itch his nose. Like, oh, my nose is itchy. I'll take my fucking glove off and shove it underneath this fucking ottoman cover that I call a helmet / bio chem suit.
Right, like, what part of away missions and decontamination suit training did he not get to where it was like, if you have to itch your nose, feel free to take your gloves off.
Well, fucking any of it, I guess, because he takes his glove off and he puts it on the frozen engineer's head. Like, oh, here you go, buddy. I know you're not going to take my glove.
No, it was on the console, right?
No, it was on the frozen engineer's head. Just like, oh, here you go. Hold on to this. I'm going to itch my nose. Then I'm going to do shit with my free hand that doesn't have a glove. Then when I'm done touching shit, I'll put my glove back on.
Did you notice in the beginning?
It's like when like they a first child. Go in.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's dope.
Like a child. Like don't wipe your nose on this. Oh fuck it, I'm gonna use my underwear as a hat and then shit everywhere. Shit. And then when I'm done doing that, I'll just put my underwear back on my pants.
Did you notice that one of the dead bodies is just a mannequin?
Yeah.
You couldn't pay an actor to lay there under the spackle? I'm sure somebody wants that job.
I mean, that spackle must have been heavy.
Yeah. But so there's this great mannequin dead body. He reaches down after he takes his glove off like a fucking idiot. And the liquid, which will contaminate him, drips sideways onto his hand.
Yeah, it attacked him.
It reached out for him.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it have been enough for him to just touch it? Were they trying to imply, like, some kind of sentient or, like, it was attracted to skin?
I probably, that's what they were going for. All I got was, maybe you would have noticed this fucking liquid on you if you didn't take your fucking glove off, you jackass. Like, oh, my hand's so cold, I don't notice that it's covered in this red liquid that attacked me out of nowhere in this frozen room. But it's okay, because my glove's on top of that dead guy's head.
Yeah, yep.
Is he part of the science fucking team?
I can't remember what color his jersey is.
I mean, I thought it was red.
Well, red isn't science.
Well, he shouldn't have been down there.
Well, I mean, you gotta have a generic guy. I don't think it was red either. Was it red? Or was it gold?
It wasn't gold. I don't know.
I can't remember.
He's the worst officer in Starfleet.
Yeah.
And by far. There's...
I mean, what, he might not even...
Not only is he the worst officer, or, like, non-commissioned officer, or just enlisted man in Starfleet, but old Kirk is just the worst commander ever to be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna handpick this guy to my ship, and...
Does he handpick that guy? Does he say, like,
well, they keep
Spock, another
they
guy.
They keep having down. More banter about how he's always questioning why they're in space. And it's like, well, because you have a perfect society and all your needs are met, so you're just fucking bored and you're flying through space out of sheer boredom. That's
yeah,
it.
I mean, curiosity could be another word.
Sheer boredom.
Exploration.
Why explore?
To find out.
Find out what? They're not asking questions. They're not even following. They're not even following basic safety protocols. And don't take your fucking gloves off.
Well, I mean, that's not his problem.
Well, I mean, it's that guy's problem.
It becomes his problem. But so they finally go back to the ship, and they do this transporter decontamination. Extra procedure. Like, oh yeah, this is an extra transporter procedure.
Yeah, we don't know what happened. Decontaminate us, so shine light on us again.
Why is that not standard procedure when you're coming up from an alien planet? Has the human race become so fucking ubermensch that we're not afraid of alien diseases?
Maybe because they're so complacent and bored.
Yes.
That the only thrill they can get is getting alien viruses.
Is part of, like, entering Starfleet a barrage of insane inoculations just from every...
They phaser in the inoculation for hepatitis W into you.
I can even get shot for fucking Ferengi rickets.
Don't get those Romulan anal warts. I got Kardashian cysts.
I got Andorian Lou Gehrig's disease.
uh, the luckiest Starfleet officer ever.
I consider myself the luckiest Starfleet officer in the universe.
Yeah, so a decontamination, it doesn't even work.
Yeah. Why is that not standard procedure? I mean, I suppose they probably decontaminate it for everything known, and this is an unknown, so that's why it gets through. Yeah, I mean, you gotta give them something, right? Like,
well, they get checked out too.
Yeah, then they go for a physical, with Bones.
What's his name? Johnny No Glove is just constantly itching.
Yeah, he's got some serious, what I like to call meth hands.
Yeah, and he's freaking out about it, which is really hilarious, because Bones is looking right at him, and it's just like, oh, something up with your hand? I'm not going to ask that.
Yeah, he doesn't say, like, maybe you have a rash on your hand. I mean, I just looked, but maybe I missed it.
No, I'm not even going to look. Get just up, like, on the rape table, and let's watch all these knobs and dials do shit.
Yeah.
Oh, you're perfect health.
Fucking Spock makes I'm quite pleased that I have different anatomy than you. To Bones, when Bones says, "I'm not even sure your blood is." Blood or whatever.
If you want to call that green stuff
blood. Yeah, if you want to call that green stuff blood.
Really?
It's like, I'm quite pleased that my anatomy is better. It's a little sarcastic remark now that we're finally getting into the logical Spock. He's still making some snarky comebacks, like quite pleased that my anatomy is different than yours. And he'll make another joke later on.
He should have just been like, I don't rank you. Shut the fuck up. Asshole.
We see Nurse Chapel for the first time, played by Majel Barrett, who plays Number One in the pilot. So it's Gene Roddenberry's wife. I saw... Did I not make that note? Okay, anyway. Yeah, let's skip that. So...
Moving on?
Yeah. Sorry, edit that part out, Peter.
Yeah, fuck you, Peter.
So, Sulu's talking to crewman Riley about fencing, and he talks about botany, which is a great callback to that earlier episode where he's tending to the hand plant.
The deadly hand plant. That's how you don't get deep space scurvy. You eat the hand plant.
Yeah, oh yeah. If you're worried about Rigelian scurvy, you gotta eat hand plants.
Definitely.
So they're talking, and Riley is starting to. Sorry, not Riley. The guy that's on Captain No Glove, Ensign No Glove.
Was Johnny No Glove?
Johnny No Glove. Sorry, Johnny No Glove is looking at his meth hands, and someone's asking him. They're asking him questions about, like, just chit-chat shit, and they notice he's not paying attention because he's with meth hands. And he says, you don't outrank me. Well, Sulu does outrank him. And then he says, you don't have pointed ears, so, like, back off. Why would you don't have pointed ears? Aren't there other Vulcans on the ship, and do they outrank him? I mean, I know Spock outranks him. Like, the guy who's his commanding officer is a human being. Why would he even bring that up?
I think it was just, you're not Spock. It was a dig on Vulcans.
It seemed like space racism to me. Like,
well, speciesism.
Yeah, species, of course. It was just... weird. Then they keep arguing. Johnny No Glove slams his plate down, and everybody, like, looks. They do that shot where everybody, like, turns. Oh, nobody's ever dropped or slammed a plate before in the mess.
It's because they're so complacent.
God damn it.
Space sheep.
And I just thought, you've never... You've never seen anybody slam a blade before, but you got to get that reaction shot, I guess. That was kind of cheesy to me. Then Johnny No Glove gets a hold of a fucking gets a hold of a butter knife or.
Like the worst butter knife.
The worst. I mean, maybe it's got a little bit more serrated edge. I can't see that close.
The end is as round as a spoon.
He's like, oh, I'm going to. He goes straight to, like, I'm going to stab myself. And Sulu and Crewman Riley can't keep him from stabbing himself.
Well, before that, he's making all those references to, like, well, we shouldn't be out here meddling and, like, poking our nose and things that don't.
Yeah, he starts getting weird and paranoid.
But his whole, like, speech is, like, it doesn't really work if you're space explorers.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be poking our nose and watching this thing happen that we can't affect the outcome of in any way, shape, or form.
It's like being a naval officer complaining about the ocean.
Yeah, we shouldn't be out here.
We don't have gills.
Yeah.
Well, you signed up to be on this boat. If somebody tried to stab themselves with, like, a butter knife, they're like, I'm gonna stab myself. I'd be like, shut the fuck up and put that thing down.
I would be like, yeah, do it.
Like, I know you're talking crazy, but like,
do it. Stab yourself with a butter knife.
Like, you're not gonna hurt yourself.
It'll be good for like a nice Benny Hill laugh.
So yeah, so he finally falls down. Somebody spills Kool-Aid all over his shirt. That's what it looks like.
He's wrestling with Sulu, and since Sulu takes fancy and he knows how to disarm butter knife wielding maniacs with meth hands.
But he doesn't, because he stabs himself. He ends up getting the blade a whole inch into his body.
Oh, I didn't say he was good at it.
Yeah, without a rapier.
Yeah.
He's no good.
But, so Sulu and
Riley,
O'Reilly, and other parts, they touch Johnny No Glove and. And then they start getting the tingle.
Yeah. As they're carrying away Johnny No Glove, you can see that Riley's getting meth hands.
Yeah. So Sulu a little bit.
So then they kind of cut into Johnny No Glove. This is in surgery. But why is he in fucking surgery? He got stabbed with a butter knife.
Maybe he severed a major capillary
he somehow hit it just right, so he got into his intestine. Like, he just got close enough to nick something important, I guess.
The way he fell, it didn't look like he contorted his body so that all the weight fell on one single point that was the size of a pinhead, which would drive that terrible fucking butter knife into him. So, yeah, I don't know how any of that happened. They couldn't afford, like, a real knife? Like, one with a point?
Or even a steak knife. Like, just a steak knife, even. Yeah. Anything. Like, they definitely have knives.
They blew all the budget on those decontamination fucking shower curtains.
Oh, yeah, they definitely went heavy on those glittery shower curtains.
God, they're fucking terrible. Those and fucking wall goddamn valves that have no fucking controls on it. I fucking hate them.
Johnny No Glove starts dying in surgery, and they're like, oh, the wound's perfect. I don't know why he's dying. And all I could think was, he's given up the will to live. He's dying of a broken heart.
Ooba. Well, yeah, definitely, because his lover left him and tried to choke him. And I'm going to Revenge of the Sith reference.
Yeah. Another thing I noticed is in the next bridge scene, Uhura's got kind of nice legs. Maybe it's the way she's walking past or something. Just, I wrote a little note down because I thought it was nice.
Worked up after that song she did that one episode.
Oh, tell me about it. I almost had to go cross-eyed. It's a Charlie X reference. Charlie X goes cross-eyed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Forgot I even watched that. Listen to that podcast. It's fucking gold.
So then So now we see Sulu starting to act like he's on meth. He's like rubbing his hands on the console. And then he just goes, hey, everything's good. Let's just go work out. What?
It's well, the, all right, so here's getting back to the planet collapsing for some fucking reason. They need to maintain an orbit.
Yeah, a tight orbit around the planet to observe.
To observe, because I guess they only have what Sherlock Holmes fucking magnifying monocles to observe instead of a spaceship full of fucking electronics and shit.
There's literally a robot arm holding a magnifying glass in front of the screen.
Yeah, well, in front of the big window in the front of the Enterprise, so they can so Spock can look at it and be like, oh yeah, it's collapsing.
Sure, it's collapsing.
This is highly illogical that we have a fucking spaceship that can go faster than light, but we can't monitor from any kind of distance.
Well, I mean,
that's not a spiraling down fucking
trajectory. I mean, there are times when they try and get in closer to planets to, like, get a better scan. So, like, that part wasn't so unbelievable. Like, you know, like, long-range sensors are different than short-range sensors.
When they're looking for one person on the planet? Yeah, I get close. When an entire planet is collapsing for God only knows why, fucking black magic.
Well, because it's not dangerous as long as you got a guy at the helm, which you do. You're not predicting that someone's going to get on space meth and fucking take off.
What's going to happen? Do they not have autopilot on that fucking thing?
Well, no.
They have a computer, right?
The whole point is that with it collapsing is that they need to be able to make, like, last-second alterations to the course corrections that are not predictable, I believe is what Spock says. And the only problem is that
it's collapsing, so it's going to collapse inward, right? It's not going to defy all fucking common sense and laws of physics where it's going to collapse outward.
No, but like there's gravitational changes. I mean, I didn't write the episode, but
is mass just disappearing out of this? The fucking planet doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Well, that's why they need to explode. That's why they need to like scan it.
Obviously, if it's collapsing, there's a gigantic hole right in the center of the planet. And it's just collapsing in on that hole, so its mass doesn't change. It's just there's the same amount of matter in the thing.
Right, right. I mean, maybe that's the thing. Matter is disappearing, and they have to study that.
It's destroying matter?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's destroying matter.
All right.
They have to.
Yeah.
God lives in the center of the universe here, so let's just accept.
Fuck you, Newton. God doesn't like this planet. That's why he made it all icy and shit and red sideways blood.
Yeah. So anyway, they have to like orbit the planet. So this is where the problems start to show up.
Yeah, is that they have to have someone fucking control it the whole time. Is
yeah,
that
they
setting
have someone
on
at the
autopilot.
Which they always have someone at the helm on any of the Enterprises.
Yeah, you can have someone there.
But so Sulu abandons his post. He's just like, hey, let's go work out to take the edge off. You mean fucking go AWOL? Abandon your post? Like,
well, he didn't
he's
say,
a senior
he didn't
officer.
Say go, he didn't say, let's go work out.
He does. He says,
he
to
said,
take
let's
the
just
edge.
Go down to the gym.
Oh, yeah, so
to
let's
take
down.
The edge off. Which right. I envisioned as, let's go down to that sauna.
All right. I mean, fucking also takes the edge off.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just fucking abandons his post.
Well, yeah. He
just bails and nobody notices.
Well,
it takes, like, a while for anyone to say, like, hey, what happened to Sulu?
Well, they were probably all busy manning their control board so they didn't just spontaneously explode for no reason.
Uhuru's job is to, like, listen to communications. They're watching a dead planet. She can't look up and be like, hey, Sulu's gone.
Well, they were all looking through the giant magnifying glass.
Yeah, we're all looking through the giant magnifying glass.
So we can't. We can't look anywhere else.
And Riley's not even being, like, useful. Riley's just, like, touching his hands and kind of, like, tra-la-line, like, looking off. He's being totally worthless. And I really like the way Spock handles the situation. You know, Spock calls for the course correction. Doesn't come. Riley doesn't do shit either. He jumps on the controls, takes care of it, then says, where's fucking Spock? Riley's like, I don't know. I'm on space meth. And then he's like, no, you're fucked up. You get out of here.
Riley turns into the fucking Lucky Charms.
Yeah, he turns into the
fucking leprechaun.
Turns into a dirty Mick.
The most, like, stereotype Irish you can get.
Right. Right. And so he's like, something's wrong with you. You're off the bridge. He runs it. He sees another crewman who's even, like, acting a little off. And he's like, you go too. Then he calls security. He's like, hey, make sure these guys go to med bay. I just thought he handled that situation like a boss. Because he gets right. He's all business right there.
Yeah, except he wasn't paying attention to fucking anything up until that one point.
Right.
He was busy looking
for
the magnifying glass.
Yeah, he was looking for the magnifying glass, so he didn't know Sulu was gone. Which is nuts. But as soon as he did, he's an officer. He's an actual officer. He doesn't say, let me beam down to the planet.
Well,
get a closer look with the magnifying glass.
Again.
Yeah. Oh, and Riley says, when he calls Uhura down to, like, get on the helm, which I'm sure everybody in Starfleet gets a basic, like, stick training for a starship. You know, you probably take a flight class, even if you're the communications, you know, you're going into communications. But when he puts Uhura there, Riley says, let the women work. Universal suffrage is what he says. Like, it is the future. Universal suffrage is already there. What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, I mean, in his space madness / complacent boredom with life, he instantly reverts to, like, a fucking Oliver Twist level fucking caricature of a human being.
Right, I mean,
like, oh, I let you women work! Toy, 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 toy.
Yeah, I get that he's dancing on the pancakes, but, like, because he's on space meth, but, like, that's clearly revealing part of his character, and that's one of the things they say later, is, like, you're revealing other parts of your character.
Yeah, so he's just...
So he's a little sexist.
And he's Irish, but he's, like, bro-Irish. Like, I'm so Irish, I don't actually know anything about Ireland.
Why would he? So in the next scene, great, Sulu just jumps out of a turbo lift, no shirt on, just oiled up.
Yeah.
And with his fencing, with his rapier or his foil, and he's just like dancing around, doing little sword things. He attacks a couple crewmen.
Now, where's security in all this?
Well, I mean, I imagine security basically just sits around and waits to be called, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, but I mean, he called him to get fucking O'Reilly from the bridge. They didn't even, like...
Well, because he didn't go down to the med bay. He went to engineering, so they probably, like,
yeah, but he
missed
said,
him.
How did they miss him? He's like, hey, make sure they get there. He's on this fucking elevator.
He might have ditched it, bailed out before that.
There's... It's like a, this episode's like a fucking zombie movie. Like, if anyone had half a brain,
security should have been able to find
the tiniest amount of common sense, everything would have been avoided.
But I imagine they
went
to
that turbo lift. Don't take your fucking glove off.
He took a different turbo lift and was like, and they were like, oh shit, he's not here. He must already be in the med bay. There's probably a whole side plot that got cut out of two goofy security officers just running around trying to find Riley.
I like to imagine them as, like, Bobo and Little Deb from Nothing But Trouble. I'm totally gone.
Oh, man, I was going to say, like, John Candy and that other officer, and it seemed like a good idea at the time, or Find the Lady. Officer Kochek? Is that the character's name? I don't know. Peter, just tell me later. So Sulu, you get like a close-up of his face, and it seems like he's got a ton of makeup on. Like, more than everybody else. It seems like it's a thick layer. I don't know, maybe he's always got that much, and that's the first close-up of his face I've seen. But it just seemed like he had a lot of makeup on.
Okay.
It's just another main. And again, this is one of my favorite scenes. He bursts under the bridge with a rapier. There's not a security officer on the bridge. Nobody has a phaser on the bridge, even though sometimes they're just walking around packing heat. Not on the bridge. I mean, pilots have guns now. I mean, somebody on the bridge should have a, there should be a weapon somewhere on the bridge.
But pilots have had guns forever. They always have guns.
Like commercial pilots?
No.
I was saying commercial pilots. Like, but yeah, you're right. Officers, Air Force.
Like military.
Yeah, military, definitely.
They've always had guns.
And Starfleet is military, technically.
Well, they must have just... It's in the same handbook as Don't Take Your Fucking Glove Off. And it's like, oh, you should have someone on the bridge who's, you know... Like, the chief of fucking security. Like, they have...
Well...
Like, they've had on naval ships for the last... For fucking ever.
Well, actually...
There's someone who has a weapon who defends, you know, the control center of a ship.
Well, Sulu is actually the head of security in this season. And then Chekov is head of security after, when he comes on the show.
There's not another guy?
Apparently not. I mean, there's those two guys, but they're looking for Riley.
Yeah, they're fucking Laurel and Hardy in their way down the fucking stairs.
Just riding a tiny cop car through the halls of the Enterprise. They're stuck in a Jeffries tube because one of them is too big to get through.
Yeah, and the other one's trying to, like, shoehorn him in with his cane. They're probably not wearing gloves either.
So they stop him with almost... You know what? Dude, gloves?
I had him on.
What, do I look like a nerd?
I had him on. I put him on some dead guy.
Then Spock makes that D'Artagnan joke because they stop Sulu in like no time, really. And he says, get D'Artagnan off the bridge. Yeah. I'm just like, Spock's cracking jokes.
It's just puns all day.
Just cracking jokes. And I would comment that Spock knows an awful lot about Earth history. But they later say that he studies Earth history because his mother's human and he wants to learn about his mother's culture.
Obviously, he never studied anything about, you know, having someone with a gun on the bridge protecting the ship
from
mutinies or space madness or space math.
Yeah, at least in Next Gen, Worf always has like a phaser once he's out of security.
Or he beats the shit out of people.
Yeah, or he just goes straight to punching him. You're not allowed on the bridge. Throws a punch.
And maybe they had to have all those regulations because where the fuck is Kirk during this whole time? Sorry, I went off on a tangent, but seriously, was he just taking a giant shit like the whole episode?
Kirk has been gone a lot.
He's never on the fucking. He's looking through the magnifying glass.
Yeah, he's got a separate magnifying glass.
Yeah, he's on the port side of the ship with the giant kaleidoscope.
They're looking at
the planet.
I like to think he's following those two security officers in like a Scooby-Doo hallway-like scene where they're running through.
He's in his room doing spirograph art.
So then Riley takes command of the Enterprise from engineering.
How did he boot everyone out of engineering?
Yeah, how'd he trick everybody? He just kind of walks in, and then what, he waits for every single person? It's only two people in there when he walks in, but like everyone leaves for a second?
Yeah.
Everyone shouldn't leave a section of the ship for any time. There should always be another guy there.
Well, maybe all the engineering people left to go find those two security guards who are now up to their necks in quicksand for some fucking reason. Or on the arm machine thing.
Yeah, they're on the arm machine from the Charlie X episode.
Everyone
Well, he's stuck on it somehow.
It's starting to get really tense, so everyone's in the gym / sauna.
Everyone's in the gym. But how can Riley reroute all the bridge controls? He jams communications from fucking engineering? He's not even a high-level officer. He's in two episodes of the original series. This one and another one, but like, he's not around all the time. It's not like he's a command. Are there no passwords? You don't have to like type anything in to reroute all controls to engineering? Sure, I'll say engine control and helm. He could turn the engines off, which is what he does later. But first he like blocks it out and reroutes everything through engineering.
In this episode is terrible at their fucking job. Everyone who designed the Enterprise is terrible at their fucking job. Nobody knows what they're fucking doing. They're just really complacent and bored and just driving around the fucking galaxy because they have nothing better to do with their fucking lives. That's what it is. That's what this episode is in a nutshell. Everyone's too stupid to fucking be where they are. No one has fucking common sense. No one follows protocol. There is no fucking protocol. Apparently, the engineering section of the ship can just, hey, fuck it. Everything's turned off. I'll turn everything off. And I'll even make it seem that your sensors don't work. So I'll, all right. Your sensors show that the ship's still running, but I'm down here in engineering, the fucking brain of the ship, and I've turned the engines off.
Imagine,
how about that?
I imagine there's another, like,
scene. There's nothing any of you can do, because I'm just a shitty helmsman who can fucking do whatever. I can lock out the head engineer, because he's an idiot. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He got his fucking engineering degree from ITT Tech.
He knows how to get in there.
And our fucking head of security got his fucking degree at fucking University of Phoenix Online.com/rule. Just nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. And I'm just a fucking Oliver Twist caricature. And everyone went space mad. I became space genius and figured out how to fucking reroute everything in the fucking ship.
I just imagine there was
shit that doesn't even match with other shit. Fuck it.
Yeah, I just imagine like there's a scene where Kirk's like, Scotty, is your password still 1234?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Did you change your password?
Yeah. Now all the air's gone.
Just. Otherwise, how'd he get in? We gotta get past that part.
There's not like an override code? Like, you're the head of fucking engineering. There's no override code?
Yeah, there's no way. Like, sure, there's always a way to reroute shit from somewhere else, but how does Riley know how to do it? Is there just a big override bridge button?
He shuts it all down. There's one giant lever that says engineering on one side, and then the other side says fucking everything else. And he just pulled that giant lever, which I imagine has like a fucking 8-ball shifter on the top of it. And he just pulled it down to engineering and was like, oh, I'm in charge now. Yeah.
And Riley says something else sexist during this scene. I can't remember
what
it is right now. Oh, he says women must now wear their hair loosely. It's like, Why are you commanding women to change their appearance?
Captain Riley is changing Starfleet regulations on how their hair should be. Maybe he wasn't going space mad. He was going space sane. And he was like, that fucking yeoman with her goddamn Kevlar weave fucking hair. She spends 97 minutes a day just getting that hair ready. And then she has to spend 4 hours in midday to keep it up.
Yeah, to a lot of upkeep.
To maintain.
Well, I mean, but if that's her look.
And if she just wore her hair loosely about the shoulders, then we would have someone that could actually fucking man their security station or their fucking post or...
That's where security is, helping Rand with her hair.
Yeah.
So then Scott and Spock start talking about how to get into engineering. He's like, well, I got to use a phaser to burn through this wall. You don't have like a tool that cuts through the wall? You don't have like a tool for that? Or is it in your toolbox inside engineering? Like, you got to use a phaser for that?
Well, he has to cut through so he can reroute circuits.
Right.
Like, you don't have a... There's not a fucking control panel.
Yeah, that's inside.
That'd be like, oh, we flipped a circuit breaker.
It's a giant lever. I think he's just opening the door. Like, that's all he's doing is he's bypassing the lock.
It's a giant lever. That's fucking just, closed on one side.
No, no, no. That's what I'm saying. Like, the engines are just a giant lever. This is off.
Yeah.
But on, he's just unlocking the door when he cuts through. He's not bypassing. He's just trying to get in.
No, he has to cut through in a very specific sequence that he makes reference to several times by hand, which, okay. I don't get. But there's no, like, control panel.
Yeah.
Where he can just, like, oh, open door. Here's my fucking password. It's like, they locked me out.
There's a door propped. There's a chair propped up against the door on the other side.
He put the chain and that little swingy bar thing. So I got to cut through this wall to blow up that fucking door. Because we design spaceships to be the most complicated fucking thing ever that doesn't make any sense.
Okay, we finally get...
Like, I hope no one trips a circuit breaker by using their fucking space blow dryer, because they'll have to chop one of the fucking nacelles off to get to the power box.
You'll have to get in a suit, go outside the ship.
Yeah, you'll have to get into two fucking...
Like a shower curtain
suits. Shower curtain suits. Hope your nose doesn't get itchy.
But I... another scene of a guy in a decontamination suit going, shaking because his nose itches and he's trying to get at it.
Yeah. God.
But I really like that interaction between Scotty and Spock in that, like, scene. It was a good... It's kind of the first, like, real Scotty the miracle worker that we're seeing, where he's saying, like, oh, yeah, I can fix anything, but it's going to take way longer than we have. And I have to do all this... I have to do this needlessly complicated shit to fix it. That was a fun...
Because the people who design this are terrible.
Yeah. So the ship was designed by a thousand monkeys on a thousand typewriters typing the Great American Novel. I have Kirk is frustrated next, but I can't remember what that scene is.
He was upset because he's back on the bridge now.
He finally got back from his shit.
Giant kaleidoscope.
He found the security officers.
Yeah, he found the security officers fucking stuck. They both had their hands in pickle jars and couldn't get them out. Or some shit.
They were like, well, the pickle, they get their hands out.
They were connected to each other by Chinese finger traps.
I remember he's frustrated because things are shitty. Like, everybody's acting like they're on drugs.
And Riley's fucking singing over the loudspeaker that no one could bypass because he switched, you know, the big switch that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, so it's the communication switch.
No, it's one giant switch. Yeah. Everything else, just engineering.
Yeah. Engines, everything else.
Yeah, fucking absolutely everything else. No one could do anything. They're spiraling into the planet that's collapsing.
Like...
Because no one could control anything because the helm...
Yeah, and he's turned the engines off. So they're getting sucked into
the
gravity.
They don't know that.
Do they not know that yet?
No, they don't know that until they cut through the door. Sorry, we'll fix that, Peter. So he's all pissed off that, like, nobody's stopping Riley from making all this noise. And it's like, where the fuck were you? You're the goddamn captain. Were you busy?
You took a 3-hour shit.
What were you doing?
And now nothing's working. And, I mean, he's rightfully frustrated, but, like, I wish you had been here a little earlier, Captain, to do some of your job. We were kind of in a crisis.
He's all pissed off nobody did his job for him. Just fucking lazy and complacent.
Isn't there a panel they could burn through with a phaser to turn the speakers off in there?
It'd take It would take 25 minutes.
Take a chief, the chief engineer.
Yeah, the chief engineer, 4 hours to cut through it.
Otherwise, it'll eject.
He's halfway done, but it's still going to take him like 12 minutes to get in there.
It'll eject the saucer section otherwise.
Yeah.
So then we get a Spock Nurse Chapel scene in where they're
both, everyone's infected at this point.
Yeah, almost.
Because they've been touching
each other. Yeah,
everyone else has touched, and they've all got meth hands. And
Nurse Chapel, our Bones is working on it to like figure it out.
Yeah.
And so he's talking to Nurse Chapel, and Nurse Chapel's like kind of putting off some vibes because clearly she's been infected. She's touching the sick people.
Yeah, without gloves, because.
And she does this like.
Fucking gloves just don't exist in the future.
Well, he's using gloves during surgery, but apparently that was all his gloves.
He's using like, but a not giant to treat the Ziploc bag up to his elbow.
Well, he's also got gloves on. But yes, Ziploc bag up to his elbow in surgery.
Yeah, but.
But now when he's treating patients the rest of the time, no gloves.
I guess we've progressed that. Like every time I go to the.
Well, I mean, now that you got inoculation for fucking. Rigelian fucking Lou Gehrig's disease or whatever. For Ferengi rickets, you don't need fucking gloves.
Just bored and complacent.
So Spock and Chapel are like, there's like a little linger where it seems like, you know, Chapel's giving throwing some googly eyes.
She said something. I don't remember what it was.
Does she say "I love you"?
I don't.
I think she might.
She could have recited the Gettysburg Address. I don't fucking remember. I didn't take notes either.
I saw a porno parody of this episode.
We're getting off the subject here.
No, I mean, this is connected. I saw a porno parody of this episode where that just turns into a full-blown sex scene, obviously. And then Spock blows a green load all over her tits, but... And then Bones makes a bunch of green semen bastard type jokes later in the episode. I mean, for the rest of the porno. But I believe that's called Sex Trek, The Naked Time. So any of you listeners want to check that out? It's weird.
I don't watch themed porno. Well, that's not true. I don't watch Star Trek themed porno.
It's all weird. I've watched a bunch of it.
I mean, how could it be good when this episode's so terrible?
This is a great episode.
Yeah, if you follow Starfleet regulations and just be fucking moronic.
Riley announces that there will be no dance tonight at some point. And I just thought, what the fuck, Riley? That's like, great.
I mean, if we're going to be fully honest on this, and I mean, you can cut this out later if you want to, Peter. Like, I just started zoning out halfway through this fucking episode because it didn't make any sense. Like, none of it made fucking sense, and I was just starting to get frustrated.
This is like one of my favorite. I think this is the first episode of the original series I ever saw, and that's like, why I love it so much.
The planet's collapsing at a constant rate, and then it shifts, and it's not collapsing at a constant rate, but they only have this much time to get in a better orbit, which I don't even know why the fuck they're even close to it. And it's like, oh, the ship's heating up because we're too close. And we got like 5 minutes. And, oh, Scotty, you got to cut through that fucking door. And he's like, oh, it's going to take 10. And it's like, why would it fucking take 10? Who the fuck designed this ship? It's like Fisher-Price fucking made it.
I mean, not Scotty. We know that.
Not anyone that fucking knew anything about engineering. Or an engineer that was just an idiot. And was like, oh, yeah, we'll just... You can run the entire ship from engineering, because that fucking makes sense.
Maybe he was doing regular meth.
Probably.
Instead of the space meth.
Was it designed on the bad part of Mars? San Marzadino?
Oh,
San Martino.
Could be it.
Oh, man. No, that'd have a lift. Yeah, so then Spock is infected by Nurse Chapel. Everybody sprayed that green load on her tits.
Yeah, and
I mean, wrong.
It seems to affect everyone progressively faster.
Yeah, that's. I think that's just for timing reasons. But Spock,
like, oh, it took this guy, you know, X amount of time. But Spock, it was like, oh yeah, as soon as you know he touched her hand and then like left the room and he started crying.
Yeah, he starts leaving the. He starts kind of crying and then he starts reciting numbers. It's not like he's like working an equation. He's just saying numbers as a way to like logic up.
Yeah, numbers, logic.
It's where like I can understand the idea of like reciting facts to like calm down, but like, but he's just like I'm just saying numbers, just like 1, 2, 7, 8. I'm a fool again. Was just real. I didn't get that far. I was a little. It was weird. Those reciting numbers. If they had him start spouting technical shit, like schematics on the Enterprise, or doing something like reciting anything else, but then just numbers, I'd buy it.
Well, I'd poorly written episode.
We get a shot back in our engineering. Scotty gets in. He's finally cut through the panel, and he says that he will.
Kirk's like, as soon as they open this door, let's just beat the shit out of him for him singing and me being mad because I wasn't doing my job.
Yeah.
Starfleet's probably going to be upset with me, but since they're complacent fucking idiots also, then nothing will happen. I'll keep my command.
So that's when we get the Scotty, the engines are cold. You can't mix matter and antimatter cold or we'll explode. We can't. It takes 30 minutes to start the engines. You have 8.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the classic Star Trek, like, bit where they go back where they, like, tell Scotty to do shit. And he's like, it's impossible because of X made-up science fiction reason. And then he does it anyway.
Well, yeah, he gave his classic, you can't defy the laws of physics.
Yeah, you can't defy the laws of physics.
Which is like, oh, the good point, Scotty. Why is this fucking planet collapsing? Where's the matter for this planet going that it is collapsing in upon itself, Scotty? Obviously fucking physics don't apply to the fucking Enterprise.
I did not... Like, I just didn't pay that much attention to that part. I just was on, like... able to suspend my disbelief enough on that, like, portion of it.
Nope.
I got it. You've made it abundantly clear that that part is...
If that's the premise of your episode, is a planet is collapsing in on itself...
It's space
for no reason whatsoever, then, yeah, I'm a little unhappy. Then you take your fucking glove off.
Also, there's a fuck ton of empty space in engineering. When you watch a huge-ass empty room... Big bank of computers, then the fucking...
Big bank of computers? It's not even a bank of computers. It's a giant, like, table. Like, a long table.
Well, there's also the stand-up thing on one side.
One chair and, like, 11 switches.
Well, yeah, that's how you run?
This is how you build a fucking spaceship that was faster than light? It's got switches and shit? Well, you guys are terrible.
That's set design shit, but, like... It's the, like, engineering has so much empty space compared to, like, future Enterprises where it'll be, like, much busier. There's a crew of 430 on this ship. We only ever see, like, 2 or 3 down in engineering, and it's huge empty space. Is it the midnight shift?
Nothing but room.
Yeah, so much space. Riley was clearly going to have to dance in there.
Well, I mean, they definitely needed, after this episode, they needed more... knobs and switches and just people to be in engineering so they don't all get duped. Like, hey, what's outside, guys? It's like only half of us will go. so this guy can't take over fucking engineering and flip the giant eight ball switch.
You remember that again? We can't have that happen again.
Yeah. Captain was pissed.
The cat was pissed. We almost crashed into a planet.
Yeah, we almost crashed into a collapsing planet. Because that fucking, however.
Yeah. So Spock has to help him come up with a formula for doing mixing the antimatter and matter. And
he already had it in his head. He was like, "Oh yeah, well, I read this thing in Popular Mechanics the other day that told me you could do it. So let's just do it."
Yeah. Like, Spock's brain, like, I know he's a scientist.
He's
the science officer.
You know what? This is the episode that jumped the shark. I'm saying it.
Fuck. Can we jump the shark? It's episode 4.
Episode 4, Star Trek, the original series, Jump the Shark.
He does come up with the thing, because he's better than the computer and all-known science.
Yeah.
But Spock does that all the time. Like, they do that all the time. This crew has the weirdest shit happen to them. And
like a motorcycle? Or skis?
And then they
going
do...
Going over some sort of space shark?
And then they just constantly do the impossible.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a common theme in TV shows and movies where all the stuff happens to, like, one cast of characters.
Where sharks are... jumped.
Where sharks are jumped. So, then Bones figures out what's up with the space myth. It's more like space booze, and it's transferred via sweat, so by touch.
Yeah, because he says that the water on the planet became a virus.
Right.
And I was like, oh, why not? Why not? Fucking planet's collapsing, no gloves, fucking guy can control a ship from fucking one chair with 11 switches. No fucking security on a goddamn ship.
Okay, so they figure out how the space virus, and he comes up with an inoculation. He inoculates himself and Nurse Chapel.
He gives it to Sulu.
Yeah, he gives it to Sulu as the test.
Sulu has not lost the will to live yet. Like Butterknife Jim over there.
Yeah, like Butterknife Johnny No Glove.
Fucking awful.
Oh, I skipped a part. Spock and Kirk start yelling at each other. Kirk, you know, is getting the disease. He's starting to be affected. And him and Spock kind of get into it about, like, hey, I need you to come up with that antimatter formula, or we're all going to die. And it's like, that's fucking a lot of pressure to put on your first officer. Like, I know he's the first officer, but you're really going at him. Like, that's a lot.
But he's hitting him in the face.
Yeah, and then they have that fucking slap fight where Spock backhands him once and he goes over the table because Vulcans are stronger than humans. I don't know what the quotient is, and I'm not going to look that
physically
up.
Physically stronger, yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean... instantly susceptible to fucking space water virus.
Well, I mean, many of the people are instantly susceptible.
Like, instantly.
But after
faster than anyone else.
After that slap fight, like, Spock literally is like, got it. I figured out the formula.
Yeah.
He gives it to Scotty.
He turns into Rain Man.
Yeah.
Kirk walks over. You got that formula, Spock? Yeah, about a dollar.
About a dollar. Kirk walks onto the bridge where Bones is waiting, and he just rips his sleeve off. Like, he rips his sleeve, like, it's so... he just goes... Kr. I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to tear someone's shirt off before. It's not like you don't just palm it off. But that's what he does. He just palms it off, gives him the shot.
He's a doctor.
Yeah. Also, when Kirk is affected by the disease, he just kind of tough guys his way through it. Like, he's clearly, like, he's affected, but he also just wills his way through. Like, oh, fuck it. Okay, I'm going to do my job anyway, because I'm more badass than, like, everybody.
Why couldn't he do it before he had the disease? It's his fucking job.
Do his job. Right. Should have been on the bridge, like...
Like, the whole fucking time.
Like, 120% more than he was.
Fucking space kaleidoscope.
Or it's just... Someone's got to man that space kaleidoscope.
They turned the planet collapsing into a magic eye, and he had to figure it out.
That's what it was. So when they start the ship, everybody suddenly, like, puts on these crazy faces, because they're going faster than they've ever gone before. Everybody puts on these crazy faces, and I swear, it looks like Kirk is coming, and everybody's watching him come.
Yeah.
That's what I thought the faces looked like.
It was pretty good.
Which he might have been.
Who knows?
That's a new warp level. Anything could happen.
Well, the best part is he was like, oh, plot a course. Where? Fucking anywhere.
Literally.
Because that's how space works.
Anywhere that's not, I guess, into a planet, I guess was his point. But this is here's a super weird point. Like, they're going super fast, and when they're like, oh shit, look at the chronometer, we're going back in time. Why is that added? It's such a weird thing to add to the very end of the episode.
It's a weird thing to add.
We also went back in time 72 hours. I mean, if that was the point of the whole episode, like, oh, we went back in time, or a setup for a next episode, which they never do, of course, I would get it. But, like, went back in time for fucking nothing. It's just like, hey, what happens at the end of the episode? What if they go back in time 70 hours?
Yeah, just send them back in time.
Why would they do that? Your mom? All right, write that in.
Well, I like to think that they pitched it and were like, and then we'll have them go back in time, like, 72 hours. And the network was like, why would you have them go back in time 72 hours? And it's like, you know, you got to put that olive on the toothpick right down the center of that shit sandwich. It's got to have that fucking olive. We'll just throw that in there. And they're just like, what? Why the fuck would you do that? And Roddenberry was just like, fuck you. That's why.
Also, the way they stop, they're just like, oh, we're going back in time. What should we do? And they kind of say, like, some bullshit. Like, oh, let's make sure you're slow down. It's like, well, it's kind of presumptuous for them to assume that their stopping is going to make it so that they stop going back in time. And also that they then say something like, arguably, we could go back in time whenever we want. Which, in Star Trek, they kind of do go back in time whenever they want.
Yeah.
Like, even in the original series, they go back in time like a fucking ton.
Paradoxes.
Never like that. But never again do they go like that.
You mean just accidentally back 3 days?
Yeah, for the rest of the next time, it's like, I went through a portal, slingshot around the sun.
Terrible.
All these other ways.
Someone
should make a list of all the ways they go back in time in Star Trek, because there's a lot of different ways. Very rarely do they just duplicate something.
No, you need a new...
I mean, Star Trek 4, they go back in time by slingshotting around the sun twice, but that's like...
Can we just not talk about that one?
Hey, we're going to.
It's as bad as this episode.
So, great.
Terrible.
I can't wait to talk about that.
I hope anyone who listens to this, if anyone does listen to this, watch it and watch it from like a subjective point of view. Be like, all right, I'm going to base it on its merits and not off the nostalgia of I watched it when I was 7 and now I think it's fucking great forever and ever, like the fucking Ewok special or some shit.
Right. Well, like, I admit that every episode I watch of Star Trek starts at like a 5. Because I like it so much. On a scale of 1 to 10, I start at 5 and then go from there.
This was a solid steaming pile of poop.
Well, I loved it. Like, I loved it.
I think the cage was better than this episode.
Oh, fuck you. You do not think the cage is better.
I wasn't screaming at my TV when I was watching the cage. I was just bored out of my mind. This one, I'm just like, this is stupid.
Well, I think a lot of the problems we're going to find in these episodes are going to be,
how would you keep your command if you... What do you say to Star Trek? Like, to Starfleet? Just like, oh, what happened? oh, I just, you know, kind of disappeared for fucking half a day while my crew went insane because this dude took off his glove and didn't make any mention of his hand being weird. And we didn't quarantine anyone because, you know, the doctor was like, oh, fuck it, you're fucking healthy. I hooked you up to the rape table. Cool.
I like the idea that someone's going to be reading the paperwork on this and they're going to be like, so it says here you spent all this time, but no time's elapsed because you went back in time? Are you sure you didn't make this shit up?
Yeah, how do you keep your command at that point?
How's Kirk? I mean, he's in deep space. Maybe, like, I can't remember how often he, like, comes back to interact with Starfleet Command. But maybe it's just like, he's just like, fuck it, he's out there. We'll get him when he comes back in if he doesn't die.
Is Kirk just like the Admiral Halsey of Starfleet? Like, oh, what'd you do? I fucking sailed through a typhoon, sank a bunch of ships, got duped by the Japanese, didn't sink those fucking ships, whatever. Like, how are you still in command? Whatever, I'm just, you know, I'm famous, I'm Halsey, fuck it.
Well, I did like that point in the reboot where he loses his command because his shit is so crazy.
He should have lost it years ago.
Well, in the reboot, he's only had command for like fucking no time. He's been in command for like a year.
It shouldn't even last that long. Yeah. He shouldn't even be a captain anymore. No one on that ship is qualified to be in fucking space.
Uhura never does anything wrong in the entire series.
Her panels just explode all the time.
That's not her fault.
She inspected it. She fixed it. She's a fucking electrical engineer. Slash receptionist.
You gotta know your equipment.
Slash receptionist.
You gotta know your equipment.
I love that that's the... what if there's a coded message? She just yells it out on the bridge. Coded message. You know, we gotta launch fucking nukes. Oh, I was supposed to whisper that to you, Captain. Sorry. Fucking dumbbell in my ear. It's heavy.
Yeah. Okay, well...
So they all survive except for the guy who shouldn't have been in fucking space.
Yeah, who died of a broken heart.
Who's a conscientious objector to fucking...
Space travel.
Space travel and exploration. Because he's more complacent and bored than anyone. He doesn't even want to fucking do anything. He just wants to die. That's what he wants to do. That's the last great adventure for him, is to die. And he got his wish.
He did.
Good for him.
Yeah, so don't do space meth, everybody.
Or watch this episode.
No, watch this episode.
I wouldn't even listen to this fucking podcast. Because it's connected to this episode.
I mean, good thing you don't have to.
I won't.
All right, everybody, this is our episode. This was our...
I know what happened. I talked about it.
I hope you enjoyed the naked time as much as I, Andrew, did.
Rolling dumpster fire.
If you want to contact us, you can contact us at edgeofforever.podcast@gmail.com. You're probably not going to, because who sends fucking emails anymore?
People that listen to fucking podcasts about goddamn Star Trek. About original fucking Star Trek episodes.
Maybe. We'll find out.
Probably people that like this episode.
We'd love to hear from you. If you
fucking
agree.
Fucking delusional nut jobs.
You disagree? You have some ideas for upcoming episodes? We'd love to hear them.
We're not... No, we don't. We're just going to continue watching episodes in order and talk about them. We're not going to do their special ideas.
Yeah. What if we like the idea?
What is the idea? What's the idea going to be? Oh, fucking watch old Batmans.
No, I mean, maybe their ideas...
I'd rather watch old Batmans,
Maybe they have a great point. You mean 1966 Batman?
Yeah, I'd rather watch old Adam West Batman.
That would be fun, too.
God, why are we wasting our time with this shit?
Because we love Star Trek.
Yeah.
I mean, I love 1966 Batman. I'll tell you what, we finished the entire, you know, universe of Star Trek, we'll go do that Batman 66.
No, it's not worth it. I'm quitting after Next Gen. I'm not doing fucking Voyager.
Well, Deep Space Nine.
Trash. I'd rather watch this episode over again than any
Deep Space Nine. You're fucking kidding me. I don't want to have to get a new partner after Deep Space.
Good luck finding someone to talk about fucking Deep Space Nine.
All right, but that's fucking easy.
Fucking Space Ellis Island. It's dumb.
Space Ellis. All right.
Go through the wormhole. Why? Fucking no reason. We're just going to be on the ship. It's fucking...